Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, please keep that phrase in your mind. Christ had to suffer, but the glory would follow. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I choose to preach tonight from this subject, the glory of the cross. The glory of the cross. Lift your hands again and praise the Lord. The glory of the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated now. The Lord bless you tonight. We have a number of words in these four scriptures that I have read in your hearing. And these words are poles apart. They are worlds apart. The scripture calls the sufferings of Christ. And the scripture also said shame, the shame of the cross. Then we notice that two more words are used, joy and glory. Joy and glory, sufferings and shame. When you look at the cross was what criminals died on. And Jesus Christ died a death that would be compared to a criminal. He hung between two thieves, suspended between heaven and earth, and dying on a cross. But the scripture teaches also concerning the cross, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. When you look at what Jesus went through and what he suffered, but here is one thing that Christ did. He looked beyond the cross. He looked beyond the shame. He looked beyond his suffering. He knew that there would be a day when there would be joy unspeakable. He looked ahead and saw the day when there would be a glorified body of believers in heaven that would worship and praise him through the endless ages of eternity. He came in the likeness of men. He took on himself the form of a servant. And the reason that the people of his day were so disappointed when Christ was born and he was called the King They did not look for a king to come in the humble surroundings that he came in. When their king came, they wanted him to come with the sound of trumpets. They wanted him to come in the glory and the splendor of a king. But let me tell you that he was born in humble surroundings, and his birth was not announced in the beginning to the people that rule the land and to the higher-ups. But his birth was announced to humble shepherds that were watching their flocks in the field. Let me tell you, friend, the Bible said he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When you think of Jesus, he was life personified. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. He was the life giver. He could heal the sick. He could raise the dead. He could cast out devils. But the scripture said that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, in the form of a servant. He came in the likeness of men. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He came like a servant, and a servant in Bible times were no more than a slave. He came like a slave. A slave, no position, no rights as a citizen. Number two, a slave, he owned no property. When you begin to think about what he humbled himself to, how high and exalted he was in eternity as God Almighty, being spirit. But he came and wrapped himself in a temple of flesh. He came in the likeness of men in the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When he was hanging on the cross, they marched around and said, "You saved others, but now you cannot save yourself." I agree with that. He could not save himself and save us. But thank God he yielded to death. He yielded to the pains of death. But let me tell you, he's not dead tonight, but he is alive forevermore. He's living. He's moving. He has become a tangible reality in the hearts of men who are filled with his spirit. He is not dead tonight, but he is alive forevermore. A servant, no rights as a citizen. He was buried in a barred tomb. He rode a little mule into the city that was borrowed from somebody. They looked at him. Some said he's not the king. Others said he was. Did you ever note in your Bible studies, as you read your Bible, of how many times the Bible said he was made? The Spirit tells me through the teaching of the Word of God that he which was spirit was made flesh. Paul said in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. The Scripture said he was made sin for us. That is, he became our sacrifice for sin. He took sin upon his own shoulders. With his stripes we are healed. I'm praying tonight that the stripes of Calvary will be wrapped around us tonight, and we can realize that his power is unlimited. He has boundless compassion. He wants to take a walk among this audience tonight. He wants to lay a hand of healing upon a sick body or a sick soul, and he wants to put your life all together once again. He was rich, the Bible said, but was made poor. When was he rich? He was rich before he came in the form of a servant. He was rich before he came in the likeness of men. Rich, I should say he was rich. He owned all the gold and the silver, the cattle on 1,000 hills, the mountains, the rivers, the streams, everything belonged to him. But the Bible said he became poor. He was made poor that we might be made rich. Hallelujah. He was made poor. Came in the likeness of a servant. The Last Supper. I'll tell you what Christ won by. He won not by the sword. He won by a towel. He took the towel and girded himself, and he stooped and washed the feet of his creation. He showed humility every step of the way. The Last Supper and the towel. As a man, as a servant, he prayed in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Let this cup pass from me. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. He was talking about the will of the flesh, the will of the servant. He saw suffering, and he looked into that cup. And somebody wonders what he saw in that cup. I'm going to tell you a few things that he saw in that cup. When you speak about a cup in the Bible, that is something that you drink from. What is that cup? It's a cup that you use to drink from. The cup of suffering which one undergoes. The Bible teaches he has anointed my head with oil. This is the psalmist talking. He's anointed my head with oil, and my cup has run over with joy. He anoints and the cup runs over. It's a cup of blessings. Again, it's a cup of suffering. It's what we have to drink in this world. Then the psalmist said again, I will take the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows and call upon the name of the Lord. Thank God there is a cup tonight that you can drink from. There is a cup tonight that will overflow when God anoints you with the Holy Ghost. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory when you plunge in that fountain and come out a blood-washed child of God. Hallelujah. Then Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, there's a cup of devils. Then there's a cup of blessings. I want you to note this tonight. Matthew 26. Let's go a stone's throw from the sleeping disciples. I see a lowly, humble figure bowed on his knees, praying as a servant, praying as a man. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. What suffering, what agony he went through. The pores of his skin became as tiny wee gates, and sweat as great drops of blood fell from his brow. Oh, let me tell you, he saw something in that cup. He saw something in that cup. He knew that if he would drink the cup of suffering, there would be joy out yonder somewhere. He saw every fornicator. He saw every idolater. He saw every adulterer. He saw men that worshiped graven images. He saw sin in all of his hideous form. But thank God he knew if he would drink that cup of suffering and shed his blood on Calvary, that was going to open the way of salvation for a poor, depraved human race. Let us walk quietly in that garden. He was going through travail. This is what he said. I shall see the travail of my soul, and I will be satisfied. Let me tell you, the angels are the work of his hands, but his church is the product of the travail of his soul. This church costs something. I said this church cost something. This church cost the sinless blood of the Lamb of God. He had to humiliate himself. He had to come as a humble servant. He that was rich was made poor. He that was without sin was made sin. He was made of a woman under the law and came in the fullness of time. He that was spirit was made flesh. Oh, thank God he did come. I said he did come. He did die. I wish I could preach like I'd like to tonight. He was life. But he humbled himself. He could have called a legion of angels. It wasn't the spikes that held him to the tree. It was the cords of love that held him there. If you could only realize how much God loves us tonight, there wouldn't be a dry eye in this house. We were so unworthy, so unholy, so depraved, so far away from God, lustful appetite, no spirituality. But when he came and somebody told you the word of life, you so humbly bowed at an old-fashioned altar and you prayed through until you touched him. And now tonight, you are drinking the cup of blessings. Hallelujah. And if you just let it, that cup will overflow right now. And you can know of a surety that he's still very much alive. Notice carefully. The scripture said the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despised the shame. For there was a joy that was set before him. Let me give you a scripture in John chapter 15 and verse 11. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I'm going to say tonight there's fullness of joy in his presence. Now there's a little difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is a temporary thing. It can come today and leave tomorrow. But this joy that God puts in the soul of that believer is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And full of glory. The joy that was set before him. And I know that his suffering, while he was undergoing all of the pain and the agony, in my mind I can hear the dull thud of the swinging hammer as his hands were nailed to the rugged cross of Calvary. I realize all of that, the suffering, but he knew that when he suffered, glory was going to follow, and joy would be in the offering. If he could only endure, and thank God he endured. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He endured the cross, humbled himself, and became obedient even to death. Rich, but was made poor. Loved and unlovable people. Came into the world, was despised and rejected. But thank God, with his stripes, we are healed. And he was the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. I wish we could realize all the things I'm preaching tonight. Give me Acts chapter 5, chapter 8 in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Now, what was the joy that was set before him? The glory of the cross. See, these two words should hold our undivided attention tonight. Glory and joy. Glory and joy. The scripture said, "If any man glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." There's so much vain glory in this generation tonight. But when you really know the Lord, you know him in the forgiveness of your sins. And you know your name is in the book of life. You have a right to glorify him. That's right. You have a right to glorify him. You have a right to praise him. You have every right in the world to lift up your hands and open your mouth and give glory to him that is alive forevermore. Now, that joy that was set before him. Now, let me notice a little bit about joy in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Notice what he said.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria.
Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria.
And preached Christ unto them.
And preached who?
Christ.
Preached Christ unto them. Samaria. Samaria was not a pure Hebrew-blooded people. They were a mixture. Jesus went through there and talked to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. But now, after Christ died on the cross and was buried, arose again, went to heaven, poured out the Holy Ghost. Now here is a man by the name of Philip that went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Let me tell you what the world needs tonight. They need some preaching about Jesus Christ. I said they need some preaching about Jesus Christ. I understand that they found another moon. What good is that going to do me? What good is that going to do you? They tell me that some people don't believe that they put men on the moon. I believe they did. But I'm glad, for one thing, when they got over there, they never found anybody. If they had, they would have wanted foreign aid, and we'd give it to them. But they never found anybody. They can find 10 more moons and another sun. Whatever they find, let me tell you, what this world is hungry for tonight is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what the world is hungry for tonight. And listen, that's my theme. That's my preaching. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified. He said, I do not come with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come in the demonstration and the power of the Spirit. Paul went about preaching Jesus Christ. Yes, Philip went about preaching Jesus Christ. Right. Peter went about preaching Jesus Christ. That's the theme of the New Testament, is Jesus Christ. That's all I need to preach. Now read on, and let's see about the joy now. We're talking about joy.
And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things
that Philip spoke. The people with one accord gave heed to the things that Philip was talking about.
Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did.
Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did.
For unclean spirits.
Crying with loud voice.
Came out of many that was possessed with them.
Now wait a minute. That's what he saw in the cup. He saw Philip down in Samaria preaching Christ. I said he saw Philip down in Samaria preaching Christ to the unconverted. He saw devil-possessed men and women. He saw Philip down there, and they with one accord gave heed to what he was talking about. They were delivered. The evil spirits came out crying with a loud voice. Now then, what happened?
Many taken with palsies were healed.
Those that were lame were healed.
And there was great joy.
No, when he went to Samaria, that's what Jesus saw in the cup. He saw somebody that went to Samaria preaching the word of the Lord, and men were converted. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank God. That's the joy that was set before him. While he was enduring the cross, that was not any glory. That was not any joy. But he looked beyond his suffering, knowing that the joy was going to follow. Hallelujah. And Philip was down there preaching. A preacher told me some time ago, he said, I've been in my church so long until I'm preached out. I don't know what in the world I'm going to preach on. I said, I'll tell you, just get up and get started all over again and start preaching Jesus Christ. I said, you know, folks, they soon forget when you preach the simple message of the cross. They like to have some highfalutin sermon that nobody half understood. But listen, I'm preaching something tonight that a child in this room can understand. I'm preaching that Jesus Christ died on a cross. I'm preaching that Jesus Christ was buried in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, the angel came down and rolled that stone away. And he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he still lives tonight. The joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. Now I'm going to read Revelation chapter 4, the first two verses, and you get me Revelation chapter 4 and begin reading at verse number 9. Now we're going to get over to the glory now. You know, it's very amazing as to what people used to call us, but now we have gained the respect of a lot of people. And a lot of people likes the brand of Pentecostal. Everybody's trying to get on the bandwagon. But when I came in, we were holy rollers. We all ought to be committed to an institution somewhere. We were off our rockers. didn't know what we were doing. All of that, they said. I was baptized the month of January. And we didn't have any baptistry with heated water like we have here. I was baptized in Joe Fuske Creek, right in the middle of Mississippi, on a cold January day. Around 20 was baptized that day that I was baptized. And before the preacher could get out, we had rebaptized him all over again. Stepped into that water, and there was ice. It went out from the bank a little ways in that water. And listen to me tonight. I don't have to tell you this. If I was telling you something that was not so. When I stepped in that cold water, there was a warm glow that started in the top of my head. It went all the way to the soles of my feet, and that water became just as warm as if I'd have been in a bathtub full of warm water. Oh, let me tell you, friend, let me tell you tonight, there is joy in serving the Lord. There is joy in serving the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody can have this type of joy. Hallelujah. You know, I hear a lot of things today. And I was going to tell you where I was baptized. Joe Fuske Creek, not too far from Nanawaria, pretty close to Kentucky, not too far from Penisheuk, and it's pretty close to Little Butcher. You see all those names up through that country. But today, well, brother, how you feeling today? Sister, how you doing? Can't hardly make it. Can't hardly make it. I don't know whether I'll get to church tonight or not. Lady told me not long ago, she said, if the Lord willing, I'm going to be there. I said, the Lord would be willing. But the devil may hinder, but the Lord would be willing for you to be in church. Listen, let me tell you tonight, and you listen to me good. Everybody in this room, you ought to get a spring in your step tonight like you've never had before. You ought to go stepping out of this service tonight walking about 9 steps high, realizing what the Lord suffered, that we might have this experience of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Now listen, I want to show you that that was the glory that was set before him. In chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, the first 2 verses, now John was projected into the future, and he saw the rapture as if it had already taken place. And this is what he said. And this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, what did the Lord show John that was to be later? Here it is in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, these elders is a representative number of the raptured saints that's going to leave this earth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, I love to preach about the rapture. I said, I love to preach about the rapture because that's the hope of the church. I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, but its teaching is in the Bible. That means to be caught away or snatched away at the sound of the trump of God. He shall descend from heaven with a shout. Hallelujah. It's going to be the shout of a trumpet when he comes again. Now, what did he see?
And when those beasts give glory and
honor. And when those beasts give glory. Give what? Now, wait a minute. Give what?
Give glory.
Now, we're on the glory side now. And they gave glory to who?
To him that sat on the throne.
To them that sat on the throne.
Him that sat
on the
throne.
All right. And him that sat on the throne.
Who liveth forever and ever.
Who liveth forever and ever.
And the 24 elders.
And the 24 elders. What did they do?
Fall down before him.
Fall down before him.
That sat on the throne.
That sat on the throne.
And worship him.
And worship him.
That liveth. Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
And cast their crowns.
And cast their crowns before the throne.
Saying, Thou art worthy,
and
O Lord.
And saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord.
To receive glory.
To receive glory.
And honor.
And honor.
And power.
And power.
For thou hast created all
for
things.
For thou hast created all things.
And for thy pleasure.
For thy pleasure.
They are and were
they
created.
They are and were created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the glory of the cross.
Amen.
That's the glory that should follow after he had suffered a while. This is the glory that should follow after he had suffered a while. Glory. You know what I'm going to do? Son, stand up and read that again and give him a little juice over here on this microphone. I want you to help me right here. Read it again.
And when those beasts gave
and
glory,
when those beasts
and,
gave glory
and honor
and
thanks to him
and
that sat on the throne.
And thanks to him that sat on the throne.
Who liveth forever and
who
ever.
Who liveth forever and
the
ever.
The 24 elders.
The 24 elders.
Fall down before
fall
him.
Fall down before him. Before him. That
and,
sat on the throne.
And worship him.
And worship
that
him.
That liveth forever and ever.
For the one that liveth forever and ever.
And cast their crowns
and
before the
throne. Cast their crowns before the throne.
Saying, thou art worthy.
Thou art worthy.
O Lord.
O Lord.
To receive glory.
To receive glory.
And honor.
And honor.
And power.
And power.
Hallelujah.
Glory. To receive honor. And power.
Hallelujah.
And glory. Hallelujah!
Bless the Lord!
Glory!
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Jesus!
Hallelujah! We want to give you praise, Lord!
Thank God!
Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen.
I want Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. That's the glory that should follow. He looked beyond his hands that was punctured by spikes, a side that the sword had went into and out came blood and water. He looked beyond the suffering and he saw the glory.
Right.
He knew he'd be up there seated on a throne and that we'd come around and we would feel so humble before him that we would cast our crowns before the throne and we'd worship him. Now the scripture tells me, and you heard him read it twice, that the one that sat on the throne and the one they worshipped was the one that's alive forevermore. Now let's see who that is. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, read.
And when I saw him,
and when I saw him,
I fell at his feet as dead.
I fell at his feet as dead.
And he laid his right hand,
and he laid
upon,
his right hand upon me,
saying unto me,
saying unto me,
fear not.
Fear not.
I am the first.
I am the first.
And the last.
And the last.
I am he that liveth.
I am he that liveth.
And was dead.
And was dead.
And behold.
And behold.
I am alive.
I am alive.
Forevermore.
Forevermore.
Amen.
I think there's another verse to that.
And have the keys.
And have the keys.
Of hell.
Of hell.
And of death.
And of death. Didn't tell me I'm not happy tonight. I said I'm happy tonight. They gave glory. That means gloried or glorifying. An occasion of praise. To ascribe glory to. Adore. To exalt. To elevate and honor. That's what they were doing in heaven. That's the joy. That's the glory that should follow. It came by suffering. It came by death. But Jesus saw the aftermath. He saw what it was going to turn into after a while. His suffering would all be over. He would be crucified, buried, resurrected, and glorified, and ascend into heaven. And one day, the raptured saints will march by the throne, and they'll cast their crowns before the throne. They'll fall down before him, and they'll worship him that is alive forevermore. I got one more scripture I want to read. And you know, it's not against the law to shout. I said it's really not against the law to shout. And if we've ever needed to take our liberty in Jesus Christ, we ought to take our liberty tonight. The devil, if he can get you to do so, he will squeeze the fine juices out of your soul and he'll do the same thing you do to an orange when the juice is all squeezed out. It'll go in the garbage can. Stay alive. The Bible says this is a lively hope. There's nothing dead about this thing tonight. Hallelujah! Let me tell you, the church is alive. I said the church is alive because we have life. We have Jesus Christ in us. I'm not dead. And I'm going to prove it when I get home. If that bowl of soup has not been destroyed, I'm going to prove it. I used to eat a lot of popcorn, but I've got converted now to peanuts. Man, listen, I've learned now. I know the proper way to say is you roast peanuts. I don't parch them. That's right. I get me a good thing going, and listen, that is about my diet every night. And do I ever love that? And I tell you, I'm so happy tonight. I'm so happy tonight. I want Jude verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 20. Now, there's not but one chapter in Jude, so don't go to looking for two chapters. There's not but one. I was preaching in a place one time, and now I said, everybody that's ever read the second chapter of Jude, lift your hands. It's going to make a good impression, and up their hands went. I said, I'm sorry, but that chapter's not in my Bible. One chapter. But oh, what a chapter he wrote. Here it is in Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. I want you to note something here tonight. What I'm preaching about has reached all the way from Calvary down here. And it's going to reach all the way from here to heaven. You know, there's two things. I think too many people, when they say they have the Holy Ghost, that they really don't quite understand the importance of it. Let me give you two things that the Bible teaches when you receive the Holy Ghost. The Scripture said you have already tasted of the powers of the world to come. That's right. You've already tasted of the powers of the world to come when you have the Holy Ghost. You have already tasted of the good Word of God. When you obeyed that Spirit-inspired Word and God filled you with His Holy Spirit, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I wish you'd take a different slant on Christianity than a lot of people are taking in this day. They think it's just a get-by. If I can just get by. They have no joy. They have no peace. They're always in a turmoil. And there's no joy. There's no liberty. You've got to pump people. Listen. I remember I held a meeting in a place one time, and they put me in a house to camp. And this house had a well out there with a hand pump on it. And when I got there, I went out to get some water, and there was a bucket sitting out there. And the bucket was about so high, and it looked like about a quart of water in that bucket. And I said, now, what is this bucket of water doing here? They said, that's the primer. When you get ready to pump, you've got to pull the water in until it catches on. So many times. Do you care if I say what I'm about to say right now? Sometimes we have to pump and prime and prime and pump and pour in until after a while you catch on. When you come to church, you ought to walk in worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, when you come to church, you ought to walk in worshiping the Lord. There should be no priming done. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said, this Holy Ghost that He was going to give us would be in us a well of living water springing into everlasting life. Let's read Jude chapter 1, verse 20 now. Notice what he said.
But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith.
Building up yourselves
on your most holy faith.
On your most holy faith.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Keep yourselves. Now, wait a minute. I've turned it all over to the Lord. You've got some keeping to do yourself. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, listen, I could hate if I wanted to. A lot of friends I've had down through the years, I don't need no enemies. I could hate if I wanted to. But I've got to work at this thing. I've got to keep myself in the love of God.
Good.
Read it now. Notice what he said.
Looking for the mercy of our Lord
Jesus Christ. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Unto eternal life.
Unto eternal life.
And of some have compassion.
And on some have compassion.
Making a difference.
Making a difference.
And others save with fear.
Others save with fear.
Pulling them out of the fire.
Pulling them out of the fire.
Hating even the garment
spotted
by the flesh.
Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh.
Now unto him.
Hallelujah.
That is able
Wait
to
Wait a minute. Now unto him. Now unto him. Unto him. Now what is he able to do? He's able
to keep you from falling.
From falling.
And to present you faultless.
To present you without a fault
before the presence of his glory.
Of his glory.
With exceeding joy.
With exceeding joy.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the joy that he saw. That's the glory that was going to follow. That's the joy that he saw. That's the glory of the cross. That one day he will present his church without a blemish, without a fault, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling.
Amen.
Now read on, notice.
And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Read on.
To the only wise God.
To the only wise God.
Our Savior.
Our Savior.
Be glory.
Be glory.
And majesty.
And majesty.
Dominion.
Dominion.
And power.
And power.
Both now.
Both now.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Let's all stand with our hands uplifted.
Hallelujah.
With your hands uplifted. Let's praise Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. I want you to read that verse again while we're standing. Maybe you didn't quite understand. Maybe you was about to go to sleep. But now I've got you on your feet. And I want that last verse again. Notice what he said.
To the only wise God.